Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Welcome back again. We are talking about, well, what else are we talking about? The NBA playoffs.
The NBA? Oh, sorry. I was supposed to say playoffs, not the NBA.
We'll be talking about, obviously, that and very, very fun conversation with our guest, writer, producer, ESPN personality, Justin Tinsley is in the building. I'm Miles Gray.
I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack got mad
boosties.
Killed it.
I love it.
All right. We got to welcome our guest, one of the foremost and sought after voices. Look, whether it be on sports, hip hop, or things directly pertaining to the culture, we've got journalist, producer, and ESPN personality, Justin Tinsley. Justin, welcome.
What's going on, fellas, man? It is a true pleasure to be here. I don't know where this conversation is going to lead to, but I'm excited. We talking to NBA, we talking to playoffs. I mean, it's only great conversation.
I mean, and we'll have to talk about your work, too. Obviously, you did the fantastic 30 for 30 King of Crenshaw, I think, for most people in Los Angeles who know, you know, the importance of Nipsey Hussle.
For sure.
And if you don't know, please check that out. And also, we'll have to talk about you're writing a little book. You got a little book coming out about
little book
Notorious B.I.G.
A little something on this largely unknown rapper named the Notorious B.I.G. Biggie Smalls. I'm not sure if you've ever
I've not heard of him. Is that the same as that young man Christopher Wallace I've heard about?
Well, that is his government name. That is his government name.
That clears up a lot.
Right. Okay. Now, I didn't know he was called that.
Who knew, right? Yeah. Who knew?
I mean, look, let's just get right into it. I mean, we'll get to all that stuff, obviously, in due time. But I think the thing that is at the top of our minds, the NBA playoffs are in full swing now. How was everybody feeling after that first weekend? Jack, how you feeling?
Oh, man. I'm excited. Speaking of a thing that we've talked about on our other show, Zeitgeist, that just like randomly came across my desk, was how young Biggie was. Like, just throughout everything he did, he was like so shockingly young. Like, it was like, what?
Yeah.
How? Yeah. He was 21 when he released Ready to Die. Like,
yeah. 21, 22. And yeah, he was gone by the time he was 24.
Exactly. So that ties into what I think has been the most exciting thing about the first weekend, which is the young players, particularly Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yo, like we've talked about Anthony Edwards here and there, but like, I mean, we devoted the first episode of this show to Ja, and Anthony Edwards came through in his playoff debut, put up a cool 36, third most ever for a player 20 or under in a playoff game, third most ever for a player of any age in a playoff debut. And I don't know, it's watching this happen, like it kind of feels like you're watching someone's game come together in real time, like in front of our eyes. Like, I don't know if it just feels like that because I haven't watched every game this season, but like, I remember when he came into the league, everyone was like, well, his shooting, like, he's not a good shooter. Like, that's the first thing you have to understand about this man.
Put a pin in that one and check back with me.
Yeah, let's check back. Let's check back in like a season and a half. Obviously, you know, like athleticism and strength are like unparalleled. And then confidence is just unfakeable and incredible. Yeah. And his play-in game and his playoff debut, I don't know, this is like a old head thing, but it reminded me of the LeBron Pistons series where he was all of a sudden unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Like he'd been good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But all of a sudden it was like, wait, is somebody like, is that a college player playing against a JV high school team? Like all of a sudden it just looked like he could do whatever he wanted if he chose to every time down the court.
He's like, I will take whatever shot I want to with ease.
It is Soto, 1-point lead, 2 minutes into the third, sending away Towns. Edwards, ooh, step back, mid-range, it is money, the confidence just dripping off of Anthony Edwards with 27.
Here's the thing, and for one, Ja Morant is deserving of all the praise and adulation in the world. Like, you know, I went down to Memphis earlier this year to kind of really report on not necessarily the X's and O's of like Ja's dominance, but like when you look at the history of the Grizzlies like franchise, they've never had a superstar quality player like a Ja Morant. And when I mean superstar quality, I mean even things like off the court. Of course, you know, Zach Randolph will always be the heart and soul of that franchise for a lot and deserving reasons, but Ja is different, and you get what I'm saying when I say he's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's well deserving of having his own episode. Like, I love the fact that he posted like that clip from The Last Dance with Jordan with the baseball bat. But it's just one game. I love it. I love that.
I think only bring up the fact that we devoted the first episode to Ja, not to be like, and then like Anthony's better. More to be like, we struggle to not make every episode about Ja. That is my struggle. He's so cool and so like the things he does, like even in game one, which they dropped, it was awesome. It was so fun to watch.
Right.
I'm not asking for too much. I want both 2-7 matchups this year to go 7 games.
Yes. Like, please.
Whoever wins, like, I mean, it is what it is. I'll be fine. But I need both of those to go 7.
Exactly.
Whoever wins, we all win.
Yeah.
We all win. Now, Jack, to what you were saying about Anthony Edwards, I mean, there's no... I'll say this. If you find a reason to dislike Anthony Edwards... The issue is you, not Anthony Edwards.
Right. Take a look in the
mirror.
That guy
is everything we would want. From like, obviously, you mentioned the fact that he came into the league and people were saying like, oh, he needs to improve his shooting. And then he suddenly becomes a terrific three-point shooter.
Right.
Like he's setting records for people, you know, players his age in terms of like making threes. And his offensive game, like I think at some point in his rookie year, he got known for like dunking on people because mm-hmm. he will put you on a poster quick, fast, and easy. But like his game is so polished offensively that, you know, in a way that like Vince Carter, he would dunk on people all the time, but his offensive game was extremely well polished.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the thing about Anthony Edwards that even sets him apart from Vince Carter is like this guy is he gives you a lot in terms of like media interaction. So like, I will say that like, he's like a 6'7" version of Shaq in a lot of ways.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he's going to dominate on the court, but like, he's going to give you a soundbite. Like he had the quote of the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, it was the kids that talked the most trash at the Memphis game. And I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, like I love this guy's game. I love everything about it. And the fact that like, he's 20, we could potentially have 13 to 15 more years of this.
Right.
Right.
You know, like It's ridiculous, yeah, man. So, like, shout out to Anthony Edwards. I love that guy. I think he's going to be a star, a superstar for a long time. And if I had to pick one player one storyline or whatever terminology you want to use from the first weekend, it's Anthony Edwards, man. Yeah. Like, that guy's must-see TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He specialized early in his, like you were talking about, when he became known for dunking on people. First of all, he had a dunk where he jumped over somebody's head and dunked on them. And unfortunately, they called an offensive foul because the defender like reached up and touched his leg and then like fell back. But he also specialized on dunking people with his arm at like a 90 degree angle, like just straight out in front of him because he was that high over the rim.
Yep.
Right. Like that made me realize, oh, that's a thing you have to unlearn when you're like that athletic, is like, oh, that's very dangerous what you're doing right there. Right. You're too high above the basket. Like, you need to just go as high as you need to dunk.
And then high like as you, I need?
But what about as high as I can
I
go?
Can. Well, then you will jump out of the building.
Yeah, well, when you're 20, you can still live yeah, on the edge and reckless. Like, I don't need him doing that when he's, I can't believe I'm about to say this, 28, 29. He'll still be young. But he'll be right, a 10, 11-year vet at that point. But no, that guy is phenomenal, man. And he is exactly what that franchise needs. And I don't know what's going to happen in this series, but they've proven, and he's proven, that like no stage is like too big for him. I'm not saying he's going to come up, you know, on the right side every time, because that just never happens to anybody. Right. But like, even his coach, you know, Finch, he's even said that like he's proven he's improved dramatically on the defensive end from year one to year two. So like, this is a guy, for as entertaining as he may be in like a post game press conference situation, like, this dude is a dog.
Yeah.
He's a dog. He gets after it.
Yeah.
And any basketball fan, and I know y'all are, like, you love dogs.
Yeah. Well, his mentality is, it's so elite, you know, and that's what's so, and like you're saying, Jack, I think you were saying you can't fake that confidence, right? Mm-mm. And you can tell in the game that he plays and the words that he speaks. And I think to your point too, what makes this series so great is like, you have on one side Ant saying, I'm ready for this. I'm energized by the challenge. In fact, this is all I ever really wanted. Like, you can tell that's where he's coming from. And then on the other end, you have Ja also saying, yeah, that was a good game, but I honestly felt that we lost that for ourselves. And so you're putting up these two mentalities together, and like, it's only going to deliver some of the best competition that, you know, that we've seen in recent.
And we're recording this right before game two tips off, so you guys know more about what happened in this series than us, but there's one thing that is not going to change, and that's how excited I am about Anthony Edwards.
One more thing I do want to say about Anthony Edwards, and I think you all said it earlier, just like leading up to like this discussion, he wants this moment.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back to the 1 year he was at Georgia, UGA, they weren't good. Mm-mm. So he didn't really get a chance to play in like big time, prime time games. And his first year in Minnesota, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. Where some people might be like, all right, well, I'm a little nervous going into this game. And it's natural to feel nerves. You could tell he's not only embracing the moment, he's bear hugging it.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
right.
So it's beautiful to see that.
Like the times when they fall behind or it gets close, like that's when you're going to see some ridiculous highlight from him. And also like right at tip, when everybody's amped up, he's just the most amped up. He's just like the one who's like, all right, I'm going to score the first 7 points here. Hold this real quick.
To be young and spry again.
What I do.
So we're going to get some of his post-game greatness a little later on, just from the past couple of years. I do want to workshop with you guys in just mainlining highlights of him over the course of the past couple seasons. I've realized that I think it's the Minnesota broadcasting team, but like nobody has quite figured out what to say after he does something incredible. They have tried answer deadly. and once they even tried ants bury their dead, which is like a cool fact. Like, you ever see ants like going out and like carrying a fallen soldier? And you know, sometimes there'll be a whole line of them. I don't know. Like, can we workshop something for that? It doesn't need to be right now, but like, you know, something.
Because is an ant too small to fully encapsulate, you know, the
is
the
that
majesty.
Your pitch?
No, I feel like either, because I feel like ants are just hard
is
to
an
work.
Ant too small to fully encapsulate the ant, a name too insufficient to fully embody all of the qualities that he contains, just dunked it. Like, that's too wordy.
Ants can lift 300 times their weight, but like, that's again too wordy.
Right, so
cool, ant, yeah, cool fact.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, if it was on the Discovery Channel, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know who we need to consult on this is the Charlotte Hornets broadcasting staff, because they go in every time. So I'm trying to, like, what could you do for Anthony Edwards? See, this is why I'm not a broadcaster either.
Yeah. You know
something
I mean?
Like, there are more than 10,000 known species of ant around the world, but the deadliest is right here in Minnesota.
There you go.
Like, that's also wordy. I feel like, Jack, we always talk about how you get mixed up with his name for the actor Anthony Edwards from ER. So maybe we
my brain will not hold it. I like when we were talking about him on Zeitgeist the other day, and I was like,
what's his name?
Like, I couldn't do it because Anthony Edwards, and also I think there's like something with like John Edwards, like that, like just it, his name needs to be cooler or something. I don't know. Like, we need to brand him.
They're like, somehow Dr. Mark Green sent this person to the ER.
Yeah.
Like, you call him Dr. Mark Green, the character's name. I don't know. And maybe that's too washed of a reference for people like, I get that one.
My mother would appreciate the ER reference, you know, because she was the biggest ER fan that I knew. But now y'all got me thinking about it.
Oh, like, my goodness. Is that George Clooney on the bench? Because Anthony Edwards has pulled up as his co-star. You're like, in the early seasons of ER, not many people know that George Clooney actually started on ER. Like, now we're getting too wordy. I don't know.
Do we have to move on from Ant-Man as the, like, Ant-Man is a solid heist movie? Like, if he steals it and then dunks it? Like,
yeah.
Is or like, Paul I mean, Rudd too associated?
We just need to ask Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I know exactly. What are we talking about? He just needs...
He might even just, like, top of the morning to you, because he loves the Irish accent. So maybe that's what it is.
The antagonist? Is that... That's not good.
Right. Anti-Easy Buckets Task Force?
we'll come up with something. We'll come... He's deserving of something.
Yeah.
What anything else you guys want to call out from the first weekend of the playoffs? I mean, obviously, Boston-Brooklyn was...
Yeah.
All-time classic.
Yeah.
I mean, a
small moment. I just, you know, I like a good block. And I would be lying if I said it didn't, to see Rudy Gobert against Josh Green, that didn't warm my heart just a little bit. That would be a lie. Because I just love the clip. It's everything about basketball. You have the confidence of Josh Green being like, okay, watch me. Let me take
lost
the baseline.
Him.
Spin off of you. Here we go. And then Rudy Gobert being like, you don't think I'm work on my footwork constantly in the gym for this exact situation?
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll play this one real quick, because I think it's I don't know. I think it warms everybody's heart.
City wants and force him to be a playmaker or a shot maker.
Gobert will drop. Now he's got
him. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. That was... I mean, look. I know Rudy Gobert, man, like he hears it a lot from opposing fans and sometimes opposing players, man, but that was an incredible play right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was an incredible play. Like, there's no other way around.
No.
That was an impressive block.
The recovery, and then just also, like, there was something about Green's confidence where he really felt, he's like, I'm out of the woods.
Yeah. Oh, I got him.
Yeah.
I got him.
And I think that's what I also love about a great play like that, where you're just like, I will deny this moment.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, those moments when LeBron is doing a chase down, and you know before the person with the ball knows that they're about to get blocked, because
he's like,
you can see him counting his steps and like doing the thing that it's like, okay, in 1.5 steps, that's mine. And
it's like,
Gobert,
it's like the Jaws music.
Yeah, exactly. And with Gobert there, like, that's, you know, that was a trap. That was a trap that he set. Mm-hmm. He was like, all right, I'm going to go over here. You won't see me. And then I'm going to snatch them.
Right. It's like that meme where the guy's like, oh, call an ambulance. And then the person's like trying to rob him. And then they pull out their own knife. It's like, but not for me.
That is one of the all-time great internet clips right there.
Yeah,
like, that is one. I mean, it's wild because, like, there's 7 billion people on the planet?
Right.
Yeah.
What is that? Like 0.002% of people could ever make that play? Because one, you got to be tall enough, and two, you got to be athletic enough.
Right.
There's only a handful of people on the planet right now that can make that play. So
right.
it was impressive, man.
You know, it was good to see Caruso back defending like that, his D on Middleton, even though Milwaukee won game one, his D, like that's just somebody who loves to defend.
Yeah.
This podcast for casual NBA fans is all about defense.
exactly. The most underrated part of the game.
It is. Yeah. It is like when you're truly watching like Alex Caruso or Matisse Thybulle for the Sixers play defense. Like that, those are two people who I highly recommend when you're watching, when they're in the game, just follow them around on defense. Just watch, stay watching them on defense. They love it, and they like it. It's kind of ingenious, like the ways they find to disrupt whatever the opposing team's doing.
I'll tell you something else that I really enjoyed from this first weekend of the playoffs. Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Willie Green doing a great job down in New Orleans. And I know he and Chris Paul are friends. They used to be former teammates, and they're really close. And I thought Chris Paul's comments after the game, where they were basically sending people under the screen on Chris Paul, basically daring him to shoot.
Right.
You know? And it's just like, do you really want to dare Chris Paul to shoot? Like, Chris Paul has been one of the best shooters in the NBA for pre-Obama era. Right. You know, yep. He was knocking down buckets then. Right. So it's, I don't expect that series to be too long, but I do expect New Orleans to keep it competitive. But Chris Paul at 36, man.
Yeah.
Incredible to watch.
In the second half of the season, 17 games. Now he defends Paul on the three. The
hat trick. Another one! Going for the hat trick. CP3. 4-3.
Yeah, he plays with, like, the true efficiency of someone who is, you know, like, just seeing the matrix now. He's like, no, I can just... You know, I just love anybody, like, whether it's Jokic or other players who are just super efficient with their body movement. Just like, let me orient myself one way, and that's enough to give me some space. Thank you. I don't need to be gassing myself out here.
Super producer Jabari asked the question that I was actually had this same conversation very recently. Like, is this the best version of CP3? Like, is this the best he's ever been? Even though, you know, his athleticism was supposed to have fallen off like 3 years ago. He's on that plant-based diet that seems to extend people's careers by a number of years, but like he's only getting better at like the thing that he's best at, which is like knowing exactly how to defeat you, like with just like where he puts his body and where he puts the ball.
I think it's a fair question to ask, man. And to, you know what? I'll say it. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, man. Because obviously one, you just mentioned how he takes care of his body. And that he's spoken at length about how that's changed his career. And I don't think you can shortchange that. Like, obviously, taking care of your body is, I mean, one, even for non-athletes, that's huge. Definitely for athletes, it's huge. So and then you couple that with the fact that, like, he's playing with the best wing player that he's ever played with in his career in Devin Booker.
Yeah.
And, look. DeAndre Ayton, we've seen how his career and his game has flourished alongside Chris Paul. Yeah. I injuries notwithstanding, because CP3 has, for the most part, battled that throughout his career. But I think this is the best version of him, because he's always going to be a psychopath competitor.
Right.
And we're always going to see that. So,
right.
I mean, again, his game is not really predicated on being the most athletic point guard in the league.
Right. Like, never has been.
You know, Miles, you mentioned it in terms of like efficiency, bro. Like that dude sees the game.
Yeah.
Unlike 99.99% of people who've ever played the game of basketball. And literally the only thing he's missing from his career is basically being the first to 16 wins in the playoffs.
Right.
Yep. There it is. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the dopest things we've ever seen on a basketball court.
The 82-game preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And we're back. And so, Justin, this is the point in the show where we like to ask our guests a little bit about their relationship to basketball and specifically, like, what is the dopest thing you've ever seen done on a basketball court, NBA or otherwise?
That's a really good question.
I can kick us off with just like the thing that is occurring to me. So Jordan Poole coming through right now and being like a third splash triplet, like, is
clone.
Might not be like any individual play is the dopest thing I've ever seen or like one of the dopest things I've ever seen, but his development and like that franchise's development like raises some questions for me that are like really interesting. Like, because I feel like he's just learning, like, that they have, or, you know, their superstars have figured out, like, how to create themselves, create new players in their mold. Like, he looks like he is just, like, right on the trajectory of Steph and Clay. Like, that might be a bit much, but I don't know, man. It's one of those undefinable, like, qualities that doesn't get picked up when people, like, a lot of the conversation around basketball in the off season, like, that gets a little tiresome to me is like when people act like they know what each player is worth and like, well, you can't win with that team, you have to like move this guy over here, you need like three blue chips, and it's like, well, you don't know. You, or like Steph could just like teach Jordan Poole like every one of his workouts and suddenly Jordan Poole is like 30 points a game in the playoffs, and like, it's, I don't know, it's just really cool to see that team develop into the splash triplets.
Nodded to 32. Poole blows by Rivers. Got it!
His speed, north and south, Mark.
You know, I was watching game two of, you know, Golden State and Denver, and they were kind of having a similar conversation about this. So I'm glad that you brought it up, Jack. And it's just like, when people talk about player development in basketball, all too often it's about what is the coaching staff going to do for this player. When in reality, yes, the coaching staff is important, but like, who are these young players, veterans? Who's teaching them the game, in a sense? And with Steph and Clay and Draymond, you can say whatever you want to about the Warriors. They've always been open and willing to be like, yo, let's get this person in here and let's, you know, this is how we do things. How does that mesh with how you've done things? And what can we do to bring the best out of you as a player? I mean, look, Andrew Wiggins just made the All-Star team today.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, we could say whatever we want to. if you're Jordan Poole, you got to think you're in the best possible situation. Like, I'm playing alongside arguably the two best shooters of all time. Mm-hmm. And a guy who just doesn't mind being a hound on the defensive side of the ball, but can initiate the offense in Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like you're always going to be open because they can't double you. Because if they double you, then Steph or Klay is going to be left wide open.
Right.
And we've already known you can cancel Christmas when that happens. So, right. So I agree, man. Jordan Poole, a lot of people either don't know or forget. I believe it's since March 1st, he's led the NBA in three-pointers.
Right. That's wild.
You know, like that, and this is a three-point heavy league that we're talking about.
Yeah. We were saying earlier off mic, Jack, is like watching game two even and knowing that what the Warriors score 70 points in 19 minutes.
Ridiculous.
And then like, and in within that situation is like, oh, here's sixth man of the year, Steph Curry, coming off the bench, like to add insult to injury. And it does feel like I play a lot of video games. For anybody who plays like career mode, it's like that part in career mode where like the star players have to age out and they retire, but then you get the regen players that come up that like replace the retired ones. It's almost as if they just brought a regen onto the Golden State Warriors without any of the players retiring. You're like, wait, but that's so this is just Gen Z Steph Curry now?
Who said video games can't be real life?
Yeah,
right, there you go.
Exactly. You know, and for me, I'm like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme pointing at him. I'm like, that's a regen from a video game. But yeah, I think that really is something to watch because yeah, that environment says a lot about the skills that you learn and the energy that you're around. Especially too to have players of that stature who are willing to give you the space to say like, you know what, like you should feel yourself too. And play with the kind of confidence that we do, and everybody is winning.
We don't have to talk about this year's playoffs. We can go back to Jordan, Shaq, Penny. Yeah. Who are your guys?
Man, I mean, I think you watch basketball in the 90s. You were automatically indoctrinated into the school of Jordan, you know? And, like, it'd be impossible, too. And I have a ton of memories about a ton of different players. But, you know, I was actually talking to Jabari about this even before, like, we started recording. I guess the most sentimental memory that I have in terms of basketball is watching game six of the 1998 finals with my uncle.
Mm.
And so my uncle, just for, like, full transparency, and I don't mind talking about this at all. Honestly, it's a great memory for me. But obviously, game six of the 98 finals was, what, June 98. And, you know, my uncle, he passed from colon cancer in January 1999. Mm-hmm. So that's the last basketball game he and I ever got to watch together.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he was the guy that, like, put me on to, like, all sports, basketball, football, men's, women's. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if it involved competition, he just loved to watch it. And, like, he put me on to so much game, so many. But, you know, Jordan was always, like, one of our favorite people to watch because, you know, we were people with a heartbeat. And we loved watching Michael Jordan play basketball. And I think we both knew at the time that, like, all right, well, this is probably it.
Right.
You know, like, we weren't saying the last dance at that point. But we were like, this is probably it. And, you know, my uncle at that point in time, he was sick. He wasn't obviously as sick as he would become. But for that moment in time, watching that game for however long it was, I think that we both forgot that he was sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we were just watching Jordan and, you know, like Jordan literally carrying that team on his back in game six in Utah. So, like, whenever I see highlights from that game, like, it doesn't bring back, like, sad memories for me. Mm-hmm. It brings back great memories. And, you know, to see Michael Jordan, however old he was at that point, I think he was like 35 at that point, you know, go 15 to 35 and drop 45 in like game six. And you're just literally watching the dude like, no, y'all are going to cross this finish line with me. And I'll never forget like seeing that look of like just sheer shock and joy and amazement. And, you know, WTF is going on right here. Like, how is this guy doing this again? And I like, my uncle was cheering, so if he's cheering, I'm cheering.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was just a great memory. So, like, for me, that's probably the most sentimental memory I have with the game.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I think speaks to why, you know, sport and basketball specifically, it draws you in, right? Because that moment, that shot on Brian Russell, for me, I remember when I saw that, this was, like, in this era where I felt that athletes were superhuman, right? When I'm like, yeah. Okay, he has the ball. He scores because he is a god. And that's how this mm-hmm. works. And we are mortals. But I can almost have this expectation as I watch that this like supernatural performance will happen before my eyes. And it's those games like that that, you know, make good on that promise of like what the potential is of sport. And you can really say, you can sit there and say, watch this, it's gonna be the last shot. It would be poetic if he hits this and then that's that. And he does. And you just sit with that and you cannot believe it. And it's like all your own hopes and dreams are put into that moment because you live vicariously through the athletes that we can't help that. Yep. And yeah, there is that quality where like, yeah, for you and your uncle, everything melts away except just to sit and bear witness to like the absolute out of body experience it is to watch these like top tier athletes just, you know, make it look like it's magic all the time.
Dude, I'll never forget sitting in his studio apartment in Washington, D.C., like right off Constitution Avenue. I never forget. I used to think a studio apartment was like the top floor of the Ritz. You know what I mean? Like it was the coolest place in the world. If he lived there, I was like, oh man, this is cool. Like, and I thought it was huge. Keep in mind that apartment couldn't have been no more than like 500 square feet.
Right.
But I'll never forget that look on his face when Jordan hit the shot. All he did was just like smirk and just like, you know, laugh. Like this dude really did it again. Like he really did it again. That. Yeah. So it's, if I ever meet Michael Jordan, after I wake up from passing out, I'll be sure to tell him that story.
Right. So.
There are two moments where it felt like for a prolonged series, one player was like, actually, I'm going to take over as the screenwriter of reality. And it was Jordan in that series and LeBron in the Cleveland championship series, where it was just like, this feels like, all right, they're like, now this story would be too good. Like, I'm taking over and absolutely no one can stop me. I know Karl Malone thinks he knows what's going to happen here. I'm still going to steal the ball from him and then come down and hit that shot.
You mentioned, obviously, LeBron in that 2016 finals. Obviously, game 7 is remembered because of the block and the shot. But game 5 was incredible, where they both went for 41.
Yeah. Down 3-1 on the road.
Yeah.
Right.
Both. Yeah. Like that 2016 finals was crazy. But like for LeBron, and I think one of y'all mentioned it earlier, was LeBron versus the Pistons in 07.
Yeah.
I call it the first 48.
Yeah. That's right.
I'll never forget, which is crazy because we're coming up on the 15-year anniversary of that game. Like the fact that that game was 15 years ago, and I'll never forget speaking to Danielle Marshall, who was, of course, on the Cavs at that point. And I spoke to Chauncey Billups, who obviously was on the Pistons. And I wanted to talk to them about what was it like playing in that game.
Right.
And I also spoke to a fan who was at the game. Chauncey would say, like, dude, we made it an intention to, like, one, get the ball out of LeBron's hands, but two, like, beat him up. Like, we wanted him to know, like, there's not going to be any easy buckets here. It was like, it was something about that game 5. And like, they pretty much controlled the game up until that point. And Chauncey was like, it's like the light just came on.
Right.
Well, for us, the light went off. And it was just like, yeah, there was nothing we could do. It was like, yo, Chauncey was like, I got LeBron. I got LeBron. Then Rasheed would be like, no, I got LeBron. Then Rip would be like, no, I got LeBron. Then Tayshaun would be like, no, I got LeBron. And the next thing you know, this dude's got 25 straight. And it's like, what do we do against this guy? And Danielle Marshall on the other end is saying, like, just play defense. You know? Right. Just play defense. Clear out and play defense, man. So like that, which is, I think that's when LeBron really became, quote unquote, the king.
Right.
And a lot of people, because he was still a phenom at that point.
Right.
But so that's another great basketball memory of mine, too.
And the second overtime. James for three. Yes, and the game is tied. 107.
This is unbelievable. This is Jordan-esque.
48 points for LeBron James. 48 points. We'll say it again. The last 25 for the Cavaliers. 29 of the last 30. One of the great performances of all time in playoff history, authored by LeBron James.
I'm also class of 03 when LeBron left high school, And I remember at the time always being like, all right, well, you know, I'm in college, but LeBron, like, there was this subconscious thing of always comparing myself to LeBron James, because I'm like, well, this person is also graduating at the same time. Let's see where our lives end up. And I remember May 31st, 2007, when this game's happening, I'm graduating college. And then I'm like, yeah, all right, I know about history. And then I'm like, and this guy is an absolute phenom. And I'm like, okay. And then I think it's oddly enough, that was the beginning of, for whatever reason, I began to let go of this very toxic comparison of like where I was at compared to LeBron.
Yeah, bet you ain't got a degree, LeBron. Yeah. How about that?
I was like, when I meet you, I'll ask you if you know who Cardinal Richelieu is as it relates to Louis the 14th or the Sun King, you might know him as.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And we're back. NBA players are very funny. You know, one of my favorite things for the playoffs was Tyrese Maxey. You know, I'm a Sixers fan, so I was maybe paying a little extra attention.
There we go.
But he seems to be having so much fun out there. I feel like he is part of this bumper crop of point guards who grew up watching Steph and are just like, yo, like he can hit from anywhere now all of a sudden. And but it's also just like pure love of the game and pure joy. And there's like a thing like we don't think of people just like joking around and having fun when they're trash talking. But like Fred VanVleet like pushed him and thought that he flopped and they were talking about it. And here we just have that conversation. It's like right after the foul was called.
Yeah, he felt like maybe he was play acting a bit.
So it pushes him against the call. But I didn't try to fall down. I swear to God. I swear to God. I'm weak.
Oh, it's like that. You got to go in the weight room. I'm weak.
Like, man, that dude Tyrese Maxey, like, it's so fun watching him play. Like, just for the fact, like, Jack, like you said, like you can tell he just loves playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you know his story, it's a wild story. But like, it's hard to root against that guy. Like, it we're talking about Anthony Edwards earlier. Like, he has that same type of quality where it's like, if you dislike him, something is wrong with you because this dude, right. he plays hard.
Yeah.
So like it, yeah, I love him too because he's a personality, but he's like, look, I'm weak. I got to get, right. It's only my second year in the league, man. What you want me to do?
Like, and then just because we did spend some time with Anthony Edwards' game in the beginning of the episode, he's actually made it into the Daily Zeitgeist where, you know, our listeners aren't huge basketball fans, but we had to talk about when he was being questioned by an Irish dude.
Oh, yeah, let's play that one.
This is an all-time great clip. This is.
And I think, again, these are those moments that add to the lovability or just kind of like, wow, this there's something so sincere and genuine about him.
Yeah.
Just from this very, very simple interaction with a journalist.
If you get a win tonight, that would breed confidence going into those next four games against teams in the similar spots beside you in the table.
Where are you from, Jim?
Ireland.
I like your accent. It's tough. Oh. I want to learn how to talk like that. But ask your question again. I was too much listening to your accent.
Yeah, no problem, man.
I mean, come on, man. Like,
yo,
you can see it in his face too. The second he's speaking, he's like, is accessing his brain, being like, what am I hearing? And this like, it's like you were hearing like a song for the first time.
Yeah.
Huh.
Look, well, Anthony Edwards is straight up. He's straight out of Atlanta.
Right.
And
right.
You know, that comes with a certain accent as well.
Right.
Right.
So I'd venture to say he hadn't heard too many Irish accents in growing up in Atlanta.
Right.
But you could tell, like, he wasn't trying to be a jerk or anything about that. Like, he was just genuinely intrigued. And again, man, it's just, y'all said this word a couple of times already, the likability of that guy. Like, you just want to root for him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I want to see this guy happy because when he's happy, he makes me happy.
Right.
You know, so.
And also,
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Just the honesty to be like, all right, ask your question again because I was distracted by your accent is something that I don't. And that's the sort of honesty that only comes from like just 99.9% likability, where it's like you can just say whatever you want. People are like, oh man, I love you. But also being like, I like your accent and I want to learn to talk like that. Like
the highest compliment.
Like, the highest compliment. Yeah. And I also like treating an Irish accent like a foreign language. Like I'm gonna get the Rosetta Stone on that accent and start talking like that.
Right.
If he just dropped an Irish accent on us next season, like
that would be incredible.
Like he comes back next season. Like, what was the off season like? He's like, I was just in the gym, man, watching Angela's Ashes on because I'm trying to get that Irish accent locked in.
Yeah. It would be incredible to see him and that reporter have a conversation in an Irish accent.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope wherever that guy is, Jim, I hope he comes back and asks him a question.
Yeah, we got to find Jim. Follow up.
That's my new favorite buddy cop movie.
Yeah, right?
Jim.
I love that.
Yeah. Like, Jim.
Interpol has a new case. They have to team up this Irish detective with Anthony Edwards. I'm like, let's go.
I'm there, opening night.
Yeah.
Also, Jim's accent is cool. Like, not all Irish accents sound like that. That's like a great Irish accent. And like that combination of words, he sounded really cool saying it. And just having the, you know, poetic soul to stop and be like, hey, you sounded really cool saying that.
Yeah.
Like, those words sound cool in your voice is wonderful.
I'm really into the Irish brogue, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I'm trying to switch up my whole swag. But also, speaking to like his honesty, right? We were talking about his post-game comments too, and you can just tell from the way he speaks, he's not trying to trick himself into believing what he's saying. You can tell, like, there's just this sincerity that comes across where you say, oh, this person is this confident and truly believes in himself. And also, again, just giving us another moment of being confident while also lovable and speaking like my grandpa.
No, a lot was made about their pace, their physicality. What do you think you were able to show here about your style of play and ability to control the game?
That we the ones, Jack. Yeah, that's it.
No, that was... the ones, Jack.
We the ones, Jack.
Old school player for real, saying Jack. All right, Jack.
I love it.
I mean, wow. Yeah, there's just you can't. I don't know how you get upset about that. You know.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
The problem's with you, not him.
Yeah.
Again, let that be the rule from this episode right here. The problem's with you, not him.
Open your arms and accept the blessing that is we are watching somebody where if this is, we're not even close to seeing what the ceiling is for this person.
Oh, my
God. So if this is the first floor, like, where
we're in the lobby?
Yeah.
Like, we're in the lobby?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this is the lobby? You're seriously.
Big fat.
Yeah. All right. Justin, truly a pleasure having you on the show, man. Where, first of all, where can people find you? And also, like, I'm very excited. I am, if I sound distracted, it's because I'm furiously pre-ordering your book. It was all a dream, Biggie, and the
appreciate
world
it,
that
man.
Made him, out May 10th. But yeah, tell us about the book and tell us where, we can find you on social media.
Well, I'll get the social media out the way first. Yeah. It's actually really easy. It's my name, at Justin Tinsley. Sure. On, I'm most active on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Facebook. For the professionals out there, I do have a LinkedIn profile.
Hey.
I have not yet mastered how to use TikTok. I got to get my little cousin to teach me how to
just lurk. Really, that's what I do. I'm a lurker.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's all I do. I got the app, but I don't post anything.
Yeah.
But in terms of the book, you know, as you said, it comes out May 10th. Beyond excited for it, man. I'm doing a lot of traveling in these next couple of weeks just in promotion for it. And just in relation to what we've been talking about here, which is just all things NBA, when you pick up the book, when you read it, you will see that there is like an NBA influence on the book. I didn't necessarily get a chance to interview Allen Iverson for this, but he's, over the course of his life and his career, he's spoken about Biggie Smalls and about their relationship because they were actually very cool. And Biggie, in the book, there's a scene. I won't give away the entire scene because, you know, obviously I want you to order the book. But there's a scene where Biggie gets up. He goes to a Clippers-Sixers game in late February 97 because Biggie also knew the late Malik Sealy, who was playing for the Clippers at that point in time. And he was obviously close with AI. And there's a really great scene that I think is painted in there. It just shows like the humanity of who like Biggie Smalls was, Christopher Wallace was. And, you know, I spoke to Shaq, who was supposed to be at the party at the Peterson Automotive Museum where, you know, that was the final moments of Biggie's life. But Shaq actually overslept because he and Shaq were very cool. They recorded the song together. And on Biggie's debut album, Ready to Die, he name dropped Shaq, who was, I believe, maybe in his second year in the league at that point with the Orlando Magic. So they had a tight relationship for a while. And Grant Hill, he's actually in the book because he was actually at the party.
Wow.
That night at the Peterson Automotive Museum. So he saw Biggie for a couple of moments at that party. So in terms of NBA connections, those are definitely in there. But I do hope this book for a lot of people who may know, obviously know who Biggie Smalls is. I do hope this paints him in a more humanistic light. Just shows that, like, yeah, his life was more than just, you know, big hit records, beef with Tupac, and then had a very infamous death. Yes, all of that is part of the story, but it's not the entire story. It's honestly chapters of a very long story of a guy who was only 24 years old when he passed.
I mean,
you know, which
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. So, Biggie, it was all a dream. It was all a dream. Biggie and the world that made him, out on May 10th. Please pre-order. Pre-orders are actually very important.
Yeah,
for books. So yeah, I hope you read it. I hope you enjoy it. And yeah, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. I may see it on there. I may not. But but definitely Twitter and Instagram. Let me know what you think. And also, too, I'll use this shameless plug. If you go wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to The King of Crenshaw.
Yeah.
That's another project that I did with the Deep NBA Connection that talks about Nipsey Hussle's brotherhood with several players within the NBA and how that influenced them, not just on the court, but more so off the court, and why that friendship will forever remain important to them. So,
oh, amazing. And also, yeah. Are you working on something with Dwayne Wade, too?
Oh, yeah. So Dwayne Wade came out with a photographic memoir. It's called Dwayne. And I got a chance to work with him personally on that, which is one of the great highlights of my career. Dwayne Wade, who just happens to be Tyrese Maxey's favorite player growing up. And you can kind of see in the intensity of their games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a chance to basically work with him and got, you know, tell his life story. And that was incredible. So like, yeah, it's great coffee table material.
Yeah.
D Wade, shout out to D Wade, an incredible guy. I love working with him, and I consider him a friend now. Oh, sure.
Amazing.
All right. Got some good friends, man.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, find me at Miles of Gray, wherever there's at symbols. You'll find me there.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on the Daily Zeitgeist if you're finding this some other way. And yeah, that's going to do it. That's been another episode of
Miles and Jack got mad boosties. There it is.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.